Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 6 of E4 2021. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie. I don't think I've introduced this whole time. I think people know who we are.
Yeah, I would hope so at this point.
I would hope so at this point as well. We are here to probably not talk about much from E3 at all, honestly. We're going to talk about games we've been playing.
Right.
Really focusing on one game. We'll mention the other games we've been playing in here really briefly, because we've just played them briefly. But we've spent quite a bit of time with Ratchet and Clank, and so we're going to talk about that some. Yeah. Note, everything you're going to hear us talk about that we've been playing has been on the PlayStation 5. Of course, Sony wasn't a part of E3, so this is
kind
of the Sony show for us for E4.
Yep.
So, Sony Showtime, episode 6. So, before we jump into games we've been playing and talking about that stuff, which we're excited to talk about, anything else you want to bring up?
I want to bring up the fact that the PlayStation 5 looks like an Alienware.
It does,
like,
doesn't
that's
it?
Exactly what it looks like, is an Alienware.
And it's the size of a piece of furniture.
Right.
The thing's just huge. It's so massive.
It is. And I would like to tell you that there's something really, like, new and cool and special about it. But let's be real honest. There's been 5 of these. And all I can say to you is that it's a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And that's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real cool, like, new thing. It's PlayStation.
Yeah.
That does all the things that we need a PlayStation to do.
Yep. Which is great, because we like playing games, and it does a darn good job of doing that. It supposedly does other stuff, I'm sure, like media stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I've done is play games on it, and it does a darn good job of that. So.
When I get one, I'll test out the media stuff. I know that, because I use mine every single day for media stuff. So.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, talking about games, let's start probably from, like, what we least care about to what we most care about, at least in what we've been playing, and so, or maybe what we spent the least time with and most time with. We'll start with Final Fantasy Origins, Stranger of Paradise or something like that.
I don't know.
The Souls-like Final Fantasy game that there's a demo out. And so, cool thing. We got to pick up the demo for this weird Souls-like Final Fantasy game. Played, you know, half an hour of it or whatever. And it's Souls-like Final Fantasy. The combat is very Souls-like. The characters and narrative are very bro Final Fantasy feeling right now. I don't have any attachment to them. I don't particularly like them, which seems like a problem for a Final Fantasy game. But it is what it is.
Okay. I'm sorry. Slight aside, I just got a text from Justin the Web Guy. And all it says is, I own the mini PlayStation. Like, seriously, with exclamation points. That's the greatest thing ever. Okay.
So, that's fantastic timing.
Yes. Like, literally, just now I look down and he's on my watch and it says, I own the mini PlayStation.
I love that.
It's free.
There you
go. So okay. Back to the original thing. I have a question for you.
Yep.
Why does everything have to be a genre?
Yeah.
Like, Dark Souls is cool. Like, that's great. I'm good with that. And Demon Souls is, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I see them as a franchise, and now the Souls-like games are becoming a genre.
Yeah.
And that means everybody with every franchise is trying to do a Souls-like game. I don't need that.
I agree with that. And I think there's different levels of kind of, like, taking inspiration from it. And so I think of something like the most recent God of War was obviously inspired by some of the Souls-like combat. But God of War was kind of doing that already, too. God of War, the new God of War, took combat a different way than the original several games in the franchise did that were much more hack and slash. Most recent one was more tactical. but still pretty arcadey. More tactical, but not all the way Souls-like. And that felt good to me. Like, I felt like that was a good balance.
Like,
I'm going to say something maybe unpopular here, and this is, I am working to give Souls games, and specifically from software Souls games, more time, because I just haven't spent much time with them. They honestly didn't appeal to me much at first. I don't like the dark aesthetic that much.
Right.
Like, it's just not my aesthetic. And so that always was a barrier to me. But so many people I really like or know or admire in the gaming world love these games that I know I have to spend some time with them. I don't fully get it. Like, and like, From Software knows how to do it. Obviously, they've got all these games that are massively popular and successful. And everybody else trying to do it, to me, feels like trying to do something that I already am not sure about. And if it's like one step removed from that. And Final Fantasy specifically, I don't really care about Final Fantasy outside of the real RPG games in the franchise. I don't need other Final Fantasy things.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like Zelda with Hyrule Warriors. It's great. I'm glad people like it. I hope people like this game. It just doesn't hold that much appeal to me. I just want Final Fantasy 16 or Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2. I don't care about a Final Fantasy Souls game.
So here's the thing. And that is that I want to be clear about something. I don't know enough to be talking about a Souls game. Because when I think of a Souls game or see a Souls game, all that really means to me is you walk and parry a lot.
Yes.
Like, that's what that means, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you have a break meter of some sort. And so either if you hit the enemy enough times, quickly enough, or whatever the game kind of mechanic is, it'll break and you can do a special ability, or vice versa. If your stamina gauge or whatever that gauge is for the game that you're playing runs out, you can be injured in a different way. You lose your ability to block, whatever. Like, yeah, that's like what Souls combat is, right? It's very tactical. It's very block and parry heavy. It's very weapon-based. And so the weapon that you're carrying determines kind of your play style. Which is all cool. Like, I don't begrudge any of that.
I'm not opposed to walking and pairing mechanics in everything. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's the whole... It's like... I have REM in my head. I have shiny, happy people in my head. And the reason why is because... And we realized it again the last 2 or 3 days hanging out. We just really like hanging out with each other because, in general, we're two very happy-go-lucky people.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily, I'm speaking more for myself here than you, but I don't necessarily live around people that are happy-go-lucky all the time. And so it's nice to be around somebody that is.
Sure.
And the thing about the Souls game is it's like super emo all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. And I'm like, I can only take so much.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. I agree with that to a general extent, that it is just kind of a downer of a world. And like, it's something I'm really curious about with Elden Ring. I'm really interested in Elden Ring.
Yeah,
but I'm not the From Software fanboy that a lot of people are, because I haven't spent a lot of time with those games. And I keep saying I know I should.
Right.
We've got Demon's Souls. We're going to play through Demon's Souls at some point. And then I hope that it will encourage me to at least maybe do Sekiro, which I feel like has a little different aesthetic. And so I think I would really enjoy that. But I'm never coming back to a Final Fantasy Souls game. We played the demo, and that's as much of it as I will likely ever play.
I'm not ever touching that ever.
Even if people are like, this is the best Final Fantasy thing of all time, which it's not going to be. Like, it was fine. And it plays better than it looked at the Square showcase or whatever.
Right.
Like, it looked really clunky. It's not. It plays fine. It plays like a Souls game. It's you know, it's, again, as much of as experience as I have in that genre, it feels like that genre, and okay. But it's dark and brooding, and it's all that kind of stuff. And So that's game number one. Game number two, because this is going to tie in well here, is Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, or Intermission, I think, is actually the name of the Yuffie DLC, right? And so we've played a little bit of the Yuffie DLC for Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PlayStation.
We're going to play more of that. I don't know when, but we're going to play more.
It's great. It's more Final Fantasy VII Remake,
right?
Which we loved. My favorite game of last year. Just great, great, great software. And it's Final Fantasy that doesn't take itself seriously at all, right? It's goofy. It's campy. The characters are over the top, kind of ridiculous at times. There's dark moments to it. It gets kind of emo-ish. But especially playing Yuffie, who is this, like, super bubbly character, right? Like, she's got this constant, like, dialogue, self-dialogue, just talking to herself stuff, like, pepping herself.
You're awesome!
It is the exact opposite aesthetic of what a Souls game is. Like Jack, I think, is the guy's name in the Souls, the Final Fantasy Souls game. Is it going to be like, you can do this, man. Go for it. You know, like, he's going to be like, all is lost. I am dying, you know, like the whole time. And I honestly enjoy the Yuffie version better. Like, I just, like, even though it's annoyingly happy at times, like, it's just more fun. I like a fun game. And not to say that you can't have fun with a Souls, like, but it just doesn't hit me in the same way.
One thing I have to say, and like, just back on the way that we think about these things, we had dinner a while ago, and we're not teenagers, but we eat.
Yeah, we should have got some Tums. Yeah, I forgot about that. We're going to be hurting here in a bit.
It's not going to be good, but during dinner, your daughter called, and other than the fact that she's away from her dad, your daughter is like one of the happiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
And it, like, I don't care what you feel like. If you spend 30 seconds with her, you feel better.
Right.
And that's just, you know, like, and I look at somebody like Yuffie and a couple more years, and Jennifer's going to be, Yuffie, oh, I guess it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For sure. So, that being said, we did play some of the Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC. Not a lot to say about it at this point, other than it's more Final Fantasy VII with a different kind of protagonist. You're playing as a different character. And so the kind of general vibe of it's different. But the big thing for us and our experience with it is the difference of the PlayStation 4 version to the PlayStation 5 version. And even though it's a PlayStation 4 game that's been optimized for PlayStation 5, it really does look a step above what it did before. It was already a beautiful game. Maybe one of the, you know, top few handful of games on the PlayStation 4. Just gorgeous game already. But the PlayStation 5 version of it, with just lighting effects, that's the thing I think I noticed so much with the PlayStation 5. It's the lighting effects are just
clouds.
Yeah. Fog and mist and anything, particle effects, and how many things are bouncing around on screen. We'll get to that more here in a little bit. But like just those details, the clarity, the draw distance, you know, like when you're looking across Midgar, it's just so much clearer and it looks so much more real. Like you could reach out and touch it. Not like a backdrop. Like a lot of video games, like you get the prop pieces that are right in front of you. And then everything else kind of looks like a backdrop that's just painted on a wall in the background. It just lacks that depth and that dynamic interest that is really hard to do because it's really complex with 3D models and lighting over big, big space. This feels that way. Like it just feels better. It just feels really, really good.
And the crazy thing for us, and we're going to talk about a lot about this a lot, so I think it's a good segue.
Yep.
We don't know how much of what we're seeing is PlayStation 5 and how much of it is the screen that we're playing on. I have absolutely no idea. And it would take us several days with two setups side by side, trying different things to try and figure out what's actually doing the work. But folks, we're playing this stuff on the best tech that you can play it on. One part of which we don't own,
right?
But it's really good.
Yeah. And it's been, this is a good time to kind of talk about this observation that we've made in this, because this will hold true for Ratchet and Clank as well, is we've been playing with the settings. Because obviously we have, you know, 4K TV, big, beautiful screen here that we can play around with and really see what makes a difference. And so all of the current gen, did you see that?
Yeah!
Current gen titles now have the options of, you know, you could play it on like graphic fidelity mode, which is going to be full resolution, full ray tracing, everything there, but your frame rate is lower, usually 30 frames per second. Or you can play it in performance mode, which is going to sacrifice resolution, maybe turn off ray tracing, depends on the game that you're looking at, how they approach that, and bump your frame rate up to 60 frames per second. And I, pretty naively, because I haven't played around with this much yet, I don't play a lot of games at this point that I've ever cared that the difference between 30 or 60 frames per second. In my head, naively, this has always been like, if you're playing like Call of Duty, I get how that matters and how you want, you know, 120 frames per second, 144 frames per second, whatever. You want to maximize that because it does give you a competitive advantage. You don't get as much screen tearing. You get quicker response on the screen of a character moving. You can thus react faster. I get that, why frame rate's great there. But playing Final Fantasy, I'm like, who cares? It's Final Fantasy, like 30 frames, 60 frames. It's not going to make that much of a difference. And so I always just put on the graphic fidelity mode and don't really care. And at home on my, you know, 21-inch 1080p monitor, I just never even thought to really check it and see what the difference is. But we've done that here with our big 70-inch 4K screen or whatever this is.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference in the world. Holy cow, 60 frames per second is way better.
Like, I can see it.
Yeah.
Like, when you, the 60 frames, but I'm not holding the controller.
Yeah.
And that's what's mind-bending to me, is that I'm not holding the controller, so I can't feel it. But when you go around the 30 frames per second, it feels like you're moving in molasses.
Yeah, it just drags. It feels awful. And if you started playing at 30 frames per second, you probably wouldn't notice. You probably wouldn't care, you know?
Right.
But when you start at 60 frames per second, you've been playing a game for a couple hours, and you turn it down to 30 frames per second, it's awful.
And you know what the crazy thing is? And again, this is another one of those things that we need another week in a room with a PlayStation and 70-inch screen. But I... Like, we turned up the performance mode on a couple of these things, and I can't tell.
Yeah, the loss you get in resolution seems pretty minimal. It like, this is a good screen, and so it holds up well with the slightly lower resolution. We don't know what the resolution is. We're not running any kind of tests on this to check or whatever. But theoretically, it's lower resolution. I'm trying to think. I think both of these games have an option where you can have performance and ray tracing, so you don't sacrifice. I don't know that Final Fantasy has the ray tracing, so maybe that's the difference. But Ratchet and Clank has fidelity mode, performance plus ray tracing, and then performance. And so you can kind of do an in-between thing, so you can keep the high frame rate and the ray tracing and sacrifice resolution. Or you can really push the performance of the frame rate and sacrifice both ray tracing and resolution. But we played around with them and switched back and forth. And the resolution thing, maybe minimally at all, but yeah, couldn't tell at all. But the difference of playing 30 frames per second versus 60 frames per second is just massive, just huge. And I know, like, everybody listening to us right now is just yelling at us, of course, you idiots. Like, this is what everybody's been saying forever. You're right. Both that we're idiots and that's true.
Duff is literally jumping up and down, like jumping up and down. And all I'm going to say to you, Duff, is that we still need money, because you don't even want to know how much money that we spend for somebody to come and sit and watch us play video games while I get to the point that I need to use the restroom. I'm thinking about the money that is being spent here, and I'm literally having an aneurysm because we could buy a 4K screen for the money that's being sit there and supposed to sit on my couch.
And now we're convinced we need it.
Yes.
Like before, we were like, yeah, we probably need that. Now we're like, yeah, we need that. Like, yeah. It's a no-brainer now. So, all that to say, high frame rates, we're believers. And I mean, everybody knows that. That's if you go, like, Google what's more important, frame rate or resolution. But everybody's like, frame rate.
But. Intellectually, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But when you can turn it up, again, I don't have the controller in my hand. I'm so jealous because you got the controller in you. I can't. But when the frame rate is up and I can actually see it,
yeah,
like I can feel it without the controller in my hand, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, just massive. So if you are like the three people out there that were like us that had never played with this before, take it from us that we played with it. Frame rate's a big deal. High frame rate's good.
Yes.
Go for high frame rates. So that said, let's talk about Ratchet & Clank now. So that's obviously what we've been spending the bulk of our time on. This is really the first current-gen game that feels like it really takes advantage of what the hardware is. It was designed for PlayStation 5, will only run on PlayStation 5. There's not currently a PlayStation 4 version of this game. Even like Demon's Souls, which is the same way, there's not a PlayStation 4 version of the remake of Demon's Souls. It's still a remake. It's still based off of a game that came out on the PlayStation 3. And so there's still something to that that doesn't truly feel like it's 2021. Ratchet & Clank feels like it's 2021. It may be the only game that exists right now that feels like it is in the current generation of this weird generation of PS5, Xbox Series X that doesn't have exclusives on it. This is an exclusive that feels like, and literally is, only possible on current generation hardware.
You ready for a Jamie Jordan moment? We've gone all week. We haven't had a Jamie Jordan moment. And I said this earlier, I'm very much like Charles Barkley in his way, but I'm serious this time. Ratchet and Clank is a system seller. Period. I don't want to hear from anybody that tells me the thought. I don't want to hear it. This is the best of the PlayStation 5 to this point. If you have a PlayStation 5 in your house and you don't have a copy of Ratchet & Clank, you're stupid. Because it really does. It uses the hardware to the best of the ability at this point. Yes, it will get better. I understand that. But right now, knowing what people know, this thing uses everything it can use.
Yeah. There's nothing that looks like it on the market right now, even close. And I'm hard-pressed to say anything at E3 even looks like it.
Nope.
Like, what was in the realm of it?
No.
Especially anything that we saw gameplay of. Forza. Forza, maybe.
Yeah.
That's about it. And Forza, you know, obviously is always about that visual fidelity. It's a game that we saw gameplay of that might rival what Ratchet & Clank is doing right now. Ratchet & Clank is a game that's out right now, not a game that's coming out in a year and a half.
And Forbidden West, I mean, it's a different thing. It's a different environment, but it's the same. It's two titles.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, they're both Sony titles. And for everything that, you know, whatever you want to say about Sony being at E3, not being at E3, They've got software. That's not a problem still. Microsoft is doing better with software and good for Microsoft. But this idea that Sony doesn't have software because Microsoft does have software, that's this zero-sum game, that because Sony isn't going to have Bethesda titles, that suddenly they're like out in the, you know, middle of nowhere software-wise in the wilderness searching for games. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, they're going to be fine without Bethesda titles.
You ready to go somewhere that nobody cares about but us? You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. So we're two massive audio geeks. And talking about one of the things that the PlayStation 5 does that they sort of touted, they did.
Yeah.
And now I realize they undersold it. Is the positional audio, the 3D audio. And so being the good detail-oriented person that you are, you brought a headphone splitter. And take it from two audio guys who do this on a very regular basis. if you can ever avoid it, don't use a headphone splitter because it doesn't work. However, in this instance, we have two sets of headphones plugged into the PlayStation controller through a headphone splitter, and the positional audio is fantastic.
Yes, it's just great.
It's ridiculous.
It's really impressive that they have the audio fidelity that they do, sending it wirelessly, which is going to be the case. Like, it feels weird plugging headphones into a controller through a, you know, $3 headphone splitter. Like, you know, like, it feels strange. But at the end of the day, like, the technology is the same as if you're buying the PlayStation branded headphones. Yes. Like, it's still Bluetooth audio that's being converted back into analog at some point. It's just how much wire is it going through to get there, right? And so the technology really isn't that much different of plugging in a headphone splitter here. But they've really done well of preserving audio quality over Bluetooth, which is not easy.
It's not easy. And when I say it's good, for the two of us to say it's good, we're really picky. I want you guys to know that pretty much all of the stuff that we put up on the feed, it don't matter whether it's audio, video, whatever it is, we get done with it. We have fun doing it. We get done with it, and we export it, and we go, this is total crap. Like, who's going to listen to this because it's total crap? And it doesn't matter whether we're sitting in the same room or there's father-in-law between us. Every time we do this, we look at each other and go, this is so crap. Why are we still doing this? That's how we feel.
Yeah.
And so for us to say that it's good, I'm saying it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. They've nailed it. They've really done it well. And it's still early in the tech. And so 3D audio is a relatively new thing. It's been around for several years at this point, but the technology behind it isn't super well established. We're still learning new things. My job is
see, in the this audio is where world. I want to go, because I have a question for you. I'm going to let you finish what you're thinking, and then I have
Job is in the audio world, and one of the things that I get to do as having a job in the audio world is I'm part of the Audio Engineering Society, and, you know, in on all their conferences and all that kind of stuff. And there is at least one conference a year, if not two conferences a year, specifically about immersive audio, about mixing for virtual reality or mixing for 3D positional audio, about HRTFs, about the best practices of the technology, how you capture sound, how you reproduce. Like, it's something that is a central focus in the audio world, because it's going to continue to be a big deal. And the idea that our, you know, pro headphones that we have nice headphones, but they're not anything special. They're stereo headphones. They have good frequency response. That's what they worked hard to do. But there's nothing technologically in them that's any different than any other headphones you have. It's all about the audio feed that they're sending you that makes this work. And it's crazy good, like being able not just to hear in front and behind you, which is already challenging enough, but the fact that you can hear above and below you as well, and that you can localize sounds from the game on the screen,
like,
to flying over your head.
Like, we're playing this thing, and I'm a fucking idiot because I'm looking up. I'm like,
where did that go?
Because I mean, it's that good.
Yeah.
And what I want to talk to you about is we're fixing it really geeky, because we're both technically using professional headphones. Your headphones are a whole lot nicer than mine. I'm literally using a $70 pair of headphones. Like, they're mine are pro headphones, but they're low-end pro headphones.
Sure.
And so what I've been curious about for 2 days is there's no change in the audio drivers for those headphones. Like, it's totally the signal that's going in. There's nothing being done to these headphones. And to me, that's mind-bending.
Yeah.
Like,
it's literally just a stereo signal that's being sent to the headphones. It's a left and right channel signal. But what's being sent on that left and right signal is being processed heavily in the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, that's where all the work's happening, is in the PlayStation, to send out, again, at the end of the day, two electrical signals on copper wires that's taking that audio and putting it completely surrounding you, which is nuts. And it's using, like, this is getting again into the weeds here. But, like, they have, I think it was five kind of generic presets, HRTF presets. So the kind of physiology of how we hear positionally all has to do with the, like, shape of our ears, position of our ears on our head, all this kind of stuff that's unique to each person. And so your ears hear differently than my ears do, slightly. And so not only is it a challenge to execute in the first place something that creates this sense of three-dimensional audio, but then to have it translate using just a few generic presets is really impressive. I have been playing with 3D audio for years at this point, and I have used a lot of different plugins that do it, and some do it okay, and some do it really poorly, that are really expensive plugins that cost several hundred dollars that I've played with, and I'm like, it's just stereo. There's nothing happening here. There's nothing going on. And in this box, they've got it. Like, it's not. There's going to be better tech. It's going to improve. But for a consumer product, I don't think there's anything better doing it right now than what the PlayStation is.
It's not close. And I got to tell you, I've got a 5.1 audio set in there that I have used and abused. Like, I love the thing. I'm a total snob. You play on headphones all the time. I could not play a game in stereo for very long without just, like, losing my brain, and because I've gotten used to having that, oh, there's something behind me.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, if those die, if this is what's coming, I'm okay. I'll slap on a pair of headphones and I'm good to go.
Yeah. I'm really interested to when they get to the point that you can load in, like, a custom HRTF profile that is mapped to your specific ears, to your head, to your physiology. And there's starting to be ways that you can do this with your phone and a camera and head tracking and that kind of stuff. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting a lot closer at this point that you can do customized profiles. And it's just going to change everything. It's going to be amazing.
Can I be a guinea pig?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you please?
I've signed up for a couple of, like, betas. I haven't heard back yet. I'm like, come on, guys. I really want to do this. But it's not going to be long before you go and buy, like, that the PlayStation headphones are going to come with the ability to scan an HRTF profile for you that you put on the headphones, that it runs you through a little, like, setup wizard, you know, like, okay, move your head this way, move your head that way, which sounds better this way or that way or whatever. And it takes 5 minutes to go through that. And you have this completely personalized system that's going to be even better than what we have right now. And it's just nuts.
It's nuts. And it does things. It's very much the VR thing, okay? It's very much what we love about VR. Yes, being in the environment is one thing, but it fools your brain into, because I've done it. I've looked up, I've looked around, I've looked, and I can't. We have headphones on, right? We can't hear each other.
Right.
There's no monitor in the headphones. And we're literally screaming at each other. Do you hear that? That's insane! Like, it's really great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I just, this kind of stuff just makes me want to do it all the time.
Right.
Like this is the kind of stuff that I'm like, we plug this thing in. And I'm totally in love. And, like, I don't even know I don't even care if it's game related at this point. You don't have to put a game in front of me. Just let me play with the tech.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So all the stuff on the audio is fantastic. Let's talk about the visuals, which are also just fantastic. This is, several people have mentioned this. We talked about this a little bit and kind of lead up to Ratchet and Clank, is that it looks like playing a Pixar movie.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it is graphic fidelity wise on par with modern Pixar movies, and looks better than Pixar movies from 5 or 10 years ago.
Yep.
Like, that is completely rendered, obviously, like not anything happening in real time on a Pixar movie. This is all, you know, real time, interactive environment, characters that you control that have the definition of what you would expect from something like a Pixar movie. Now, Ratchet and Clank is not a photorealistic game.
Nope.
So, like, it's a little bit different to compare it to something like an Uncharted or even a Horizon to some sense. Horizon's a little stylized.
Yep.
But this is obviously very stylized. But it is freaking phenomenal visually.
Nice.
And unlike anything I've ever played. Like, it just, there's not another game that exists right now that visually comes close.
And I'm starting to sound like a snob because I don't know that there's anything that we saw at E3 that's coming out in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
That's going to touch it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe, but I didn't see it. There wasn't anything that was this level of graphic fidelity at this point. Now, again, those games aren't finished. And so we'll see what the final products look like. And maybe Ratchet and Clank a year ago, we were going, wow, that's really pretty. But it looks better now than it did a year ago. Like, things improve. And so those can improve. But as of today, the Ratchet and Clank visually looks better than... I'm trying to think of what it would be at E3 that would stand up to it. It's not Far Cry. Far Cry is gorgeous.
It's not that.
It's not that. It's not Halo.
Nope.
Halo looks better. It doesn't look like the best game visually out there. It might be Starfield, but we don't know. We didn't see enough of that. It's all concept art other than this one rendered thing that they gave us. And so who knows? There's just nothing that we know is coming soon that stands up to this. So why does it look so good? Let's talk a little bit about the things that really stand out that make this look better than a previous gen title. Why does Ratchet and Clank only work on a PlayStation 5? Why couldn't we do this on a PlayStation 4?
Because there's crap everywhere.
Yes.
Like, that's the simplest way I know how to put it.
Yeah.
There's just crap everywhere.
Yeah.
And, okay, go on, old man, for a second. But do you remember the scene from Back to the Future 2 where Doc comes back and Bulls Marty is like, we gotta go to the future? Takes the garbage out and puts it in the thing, and they get in the car, and he's got the visor, and he's 88 miles an hour, and then they get there, and they're in the sky, and there's just some cars everywhere. You know, it's fucking bad.
Yeah.
It's that. That's what it is. And it's sound, and it's like there's neon everywhere, and it's freaking fantastic. Like, I keep expecting Biff to walk out. Like, seriously.
It does have the storyline has a very kind of Biff Tannen feel to it, which is fine.
Yeah. So,
you're absolutely right. There's just stuff. The world is so detailed. The environments are so lush with stuff. Even some of the barren environments still have just little details all over the place. And that's not to mention the hordes of enemies that are coming at you sometime that you're just getting bombarded by tens of enemies, probably not hundreds of enemies, but tens of enemies at a time that are all these big complex character models with lots of complex animations and all that stuff. And then when you kill them, there's like particle effects everywhere. And there's all these little bolts that fly around that you gather to level up and all this stuff. And there's just crap just everywhere, just flying across the screen constantly. And it's just like, looking at it, you're like, these are the things that we used to look at. Remember that PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 demo with the rubber ducks? They did the rubber ducks for a couple of generations. And it was like, look at our 200 rubber ducks. You know, that was like this weird tech demo thing. And we were like, ooh, it could render 200 rubber ducks. You know, we're like, that's amazing. And now there's just crap everywhere. You know, like, it's just like, there could be a billion rubber ducks on the screen. And we'd be like, yep, that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
it's just wild,
and I'm afraid. See, I'm thinking on the fly here, which is kind of a scary
pretty
thing.
Pretty dangerous
because we've had food and we've had other stuff, and there's going to be more other stuff. But I'm now afraid. Now that we've seen this and we've seen all the crap everywhere and the stuff flying around and all that, like the things that we loved up until this point are not going to look the same after this. And I'm thinking specifically of Diablo and if they do Diablo 4.
Yeah.
Like Diablo 2, I remember the whole thing with Diablo 2 is you're just covered up, right? Like there's just hordes everywhere. Right. People. And the remaster is coming. And I'm looking at that remaster differently because I'm looking at that going, yeah, that's cute, but that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like there's like yeah, great. You got like 100 things on the screen there. Yeah, that's real cool. Not like this.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like afraid for Diablo 4 because everybody's gonna have to bring it.
Yeah. Past the crap everywhere thing, which is amazing in and of itself. The details on characters is really phenomenal. And so you have kind of two main protagonists in this game. And by the way, we've never really played Ratchet and Clank. This is not a series that we're big fans of that we spend a lot of time with. This isn't nostalgic for us, which it is for a lot of people also, which is great. This is our first real like deep dive into a Ratchet and Clank game. This one has two main characters. You switch between Ratchet and Rivet.
Right.
And both of them are Lombaxes, which are these wombat looking creatures. I don't know what they are, but they have big ears and they're furry.
Yeah.
And that's the like camera angles coming in close to them. You just see the fur. And it's just really amazing. And it's just like, I've never seen that in a game. Like, it's just so much finer detail than I thought video games could do. I don't know if I want to say it that way. But, like, at least up until this point, video games haven't done. Like, it just doesn't exist until now. And now we're at the point that it's like, okay, we've got that level of fidelity to see hairs. Like, rendered hairs on these characters, not polygons that are kind of textured to look like hair, but rendered hairs. And it's ridiculously pretty.
It is. And because of the type of game that it is, because it's animated, because it is what it is, you don't have the uncanny valley stuff that we're going to have with some of the stuff that's coming. That's what I keep saying about Forbidden West. Forbidden West does a really good job. It's not a realistic thing, but it's more realistic. And they do a really good job of making it look really good without it being freaky.
Yes.
And if they try something like a more realistic something on the PlayStation 5, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, that line is getting, it has been getting for several years now, but it's getting harder and harder and harder to walk to not make it eerie. Far Cry 6, I think, is a really good example of this. They haven't gone too far yet. I don't have an uncanny valley feel about Far Cry 6. Maybe in part because we're a little bit getting used to it.
Yeah.
And so our tolerance for it is growing, which is probably a good thing. But obviously the motion capture of Giancarlo Esposito is really good. You look at him and you know exactly who he is. Like if you just like held up a screenshot of that for somebody to look at who doesn't know anything about video games but has watched Breaking Bad, they go, Gus Fring. You know, like it's him. It's no doubt about it. They have captured him really, really well in a very photorealistic way that doesn't feel quite uncanny valley, but it's sure on the edge of it. You know, you're kind of looking over that cliff of like, yep, there's the valley right down there. Like one more step and we're just all the way at the bottom of that. That's going to be hard because obviously the push is going to be continue to make things more photorealistic, make things look more real. And that's a challenge. When you do it with cars like Forza, great. That works perfect. And those cars with ray tracing are sexy.
Yeah,
people is a different thing, you know, like that's a tricky thing. But if you do wombats or lombaxes, do what you want. And
right.
It's beautiful and it's crazy.
For the first time in my life, I'm thinking of all of my favorite movies. Like now I really want to play a Monsters, Inc. game.
Right.
I really want to play a Monsters, Inc. game because now they can do it.
Yeah. Like, you could legit have licensed Pixar titles that the games look just like the movies. Yeah. You legit could do it. Like, not like they're kind of close. They're kind of a cartoony version. They're kind of a simpler version. Like, it can look just literally the same. And that's why, like, this has, we've been making fun of the lens flares because there's lens flares everywhere after the Outer Worlds tube trailer. Lens flares and wahs are amazing. So we're just looking for them all the time. This game just has lens flares all the time. But it also has the like depth of field things, right? That like the focus shifts during different times, and even in live gameplay, it's not just in cinematics that it does like a depth of field change. Like, there's been times I'm moving the camera and like just the focus shifts in a very cinematic way that looks like a movie, what you would expect watching a Pixar film or even a live action movie, but especially the way that they try to mimic that in animated film. They've done a great job with that here, running live. Again, it's hard to overstate how impressive that is when the whole thing is in your hands and in your control. And depending on how much pressure you put on one of these little sticks is going to determine all of these visual things that happen.
Can we talk about developers for a second? Because of what we've seen with this, and yes, we realize we're overstating it. He's been with me 16 years. I'm rubbing off. That's what it is.
Maybe.
This whole show is an overstatement. We understand that. But now that this is out there, and now that we've sat in a room together and played it for the last 24, 30 hours, I don't even know how long it's been. I am now realizing two things. I'm realizing, A, that the PlayStation is by far the best console out there. And B, that this is going to do something maybe not so good for the gaming industry, which is weed out the really sucky developers. And not that's not the right way to put it. Not the really sucky developers, but the people, it will weed out the people who aren't really passionate about it or don't have the vision to see kind of the potential. Like, can you imagine how bad something on this would look that was half-assed? Like, can you imagine like a South Park game? Like, I love Matt and Trey, but like,
but that's a different thing to me. You could do stylized games and pull it off. They still got to look good,
right?
The thing I think is more dangerous is trying to do something like Ratchet and Clank or trying to do something that's photorealistic that you don't get there.
Yeah,
that you drop the ball and make it look like a previous gen title. Like, I say that. Everything else on the PlayStation 5 is a PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah.
Everything on the Xbox Series X is an Xbox One game. Everything on the Series X is an Xbox One game. There is not an Xbox Series X game out there yet.
Nope.
For whatever reason, this is something we haven't talked about with Sony. Both Horizon and God of War, the Ragnarok, have been confirmed as also coming out on PlayStation 4. Both of those games aren't coming till next year. Now, PlayStation 5 shortage still exists. It's super hard to get one. I saw yesterday there was some online retailer that had one for like 5 minutes or something like that. Like, that's still happening. Like, you can get it easier than you could 4 or 5 months ago, but they're still hard to get your hands on. And we've got this crazy, if you follow other news stuff, tech news, there's this crazy chip shortage. Congress just passed a bill to lessen restrictions on U.S. manufacturers of how they produce chips so we can have more chips. Awesome. All this stuff. So that hopefully production of things ramps back up because there's just a shortage right now of microchips. But all that said, that the idea that a year from now, you still feel like you need to put your games out on the last generation of console. And what that means is that you have to make those games so that they play on the PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One means that by definition, you have to be sacrificing some of what the current gen system can do. right? Like one of the things when we talk about with Ratchet and Clank, that's been a big talking point of it from the debut last year, is that this is a game that's only possible on the PlayStation 5 because of the solid state drive, because it has the rifts between world thing that you can just jump between these worlds, or you can use these rifts to move all around the environment. There's not a single load time in this entire game. Like, it just immediately pulls up environments. There's no like doors you open slowly, or like halls you creak down or have to crawl under things so it can load what's over there. Like, everything's just right there instantaneously for the most part. There's probably a few places they're cutting those corners, but for the most part, like, everything's just right at your fingertips. Everything just happens. And that's only possible on the PlayStation 5. You couldn't do that on the PlayStation 4. This game doesn't work on the PlayStation 4. What are they going to have to do to Horizon? What are they going to have to do to God of War to make sure it still runs on the PlayStation 4? And why are we still putting those games out on the PlayStation 4? Again, a year from now, whenever the PlayStation 5 will be a year and a half into its life cycle at that point, or even closer to 2 years, honestly. Horizon's not coming out till late next year. It's going to be 2 years.
But you said, I think it's developer approach, because the two games that you're talking about, Horizon and God of War, the reason they're not coming out for a year is not necessarily because they're that far out. I think those two in particular could probably be done faster if they weren't producing the PlayStation 5 version of it first, and then doing PlayStation 4 ports. I think that's what's going to happen. And sure, that's the only thing that's going to save them silent. There's going to be a ton of developers that go the other way, that put out a PlayStation 4 game and port it to the PlayStation 5. But I think those two in particular are PlayStation 5 games that will be on the PlayStation 4.
We can hope. That definitely should be the expectation. Now, saying that, Cyberpunk was a game developed for the top-end hardware. Now, top-end PC in this case. Top-end of, Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5. Still not great, but better than they were on the previous gen consoles. And that showed you, when they ported down to that previous gen, it screwed it all up. It was bad. Like, not kind of broke. To the point that little news here that's all earlier today, Cyberpunk's officially coming back to the PlayStation Store next week. But I forget who it was from Sony. Somebody from Sony said, don't buy it if you don't have a PlayStation 4 Pro at minimum. Like, it's just not going to work well on the standard PlayStation 4. If you have a PlayStation 4, it might be an okay experience. If you have a PlayStation 5, it's still going to be buggy because it's Cyberpunk, but those performance issues should be minimal at this point. But it's just crazy that they're saying, like, we're going to put this on the store so you can buy it, but you shouldn't if you only have a PlayStation 4, if you don't have the Pro. And that's the problem when you port down, is that down port suffers. Why do it in the first place? Are they really going to sell more copies? I mean, obviously they will, a handful, but is it going to be significant when everybody that wants to play Horizon in a year and a half, or in a year, or whenever, probably closer to a year and a half, probably going to have a PlayStation 5 at that point. Just probably is. Microsoft is putting out Starfield, probably, they're saying, again, we don't believe this, but just for sake of argument here, they're saying they're putting out Starfield next holiday season, which is when we could see God of War, when we could see Horizon. Microsoft is making no bones that Starfield is an Xbox Series X exclusive, not an Xbox One title, and obviously not coming to PlayStation. We'll be on high-end PCs as well, but it's an Xbox Series X title. That's the right move, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
We don't keep producing games for the previous generation past a certain point. Like, it's time to move on. Like, and again, I know people aren't there yet, and it's great that the software is coming out, especially a lot of the third-party stuff is going to be cross-gen. But if you are a first-party developer, you got to, like, Insomniac shows us what the value of that is here.
Yeah.
This would be a lesser game on the PlayStation 4, and it would probably be a lesser game on the PlayStation 5 if they were also working with the mindset that they had to put it on the PlayStation 4 as well.
So now that you brought that up, let's talk about Cyberpunk for a minute. I don't want to talk about us playing Cyberpunk, because there's no point.
Yeah, it was miserable.
But since you brought it up, I think that if CD Projekt had a brain in their head, Cyberpunk should not have even thought of coming out until right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the hard way.
And it shouldn't have come out on previous gen.
Yeah.
Which neither should God of War or Horizon.
Yep.
A year and a half from now, or a year from now. Like, this just shouldn't. Like, it should just be putting it on
previous. Can you imagine? Well, okay, remind me, because it's been a long night. But when did Cyberpunk come out?
December.
Okay, so it's the middle of June now. Let's imagine what it would have been like had Cyberpunk come out this week. And I'm not saying as an E3 release, but let's just say they said, okay, it's ready. Here it comes. And it's available on the PS5. Can you imagine how much better it would be?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
It's just...
Yeah.
And we have the example right in front of us.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we gotta wrap this up because we're ranting. But we got to talk about the drive for just a second. And we're not techie enough to really get into it.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to talk for just a second, and then we'll wrap. But, man, that drive is legit.
Yeah.
Like, I want that solid-state drive. I want three of those in my PC.
Right.
Like, I don't care what size it is.
Yeah.
Like, somebody sell me one.
Yeah. Yeah, thing just flies. It's not so we were just looking at loading times, obviously, like Final Fantasy VII Remake. We have a good sense of the loading time for Final Fantasy VII Remake. Because
we played
the whole thing through on PlayStation 4, and those load times are ridiculous. And on PlayStation 5, it's 2 seconds, maybe. Two seconds tops. It's not instantaneous. If you're expecting instantaneous, it's not quite there. But you can hold your breath. Yeah. And be in a game. You could, from the point that you power on the system, hold your breath and be in a game and be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Like we've been a little grumpy because something's going on with your PlayStation.
Yeah, it's been acting weird.
The rest mode is not working. But you made the comment that, like, it's not like it matters because quick and you're in the game. Like,
yeah, I love rest mode on the PS4 because I can just pull up a game right in the middle of it. Don't have to load. Yeah, this has been just shutting off, which sucks. We don't want it to do that. I'm going to try to figure out why it's doing that. But I power it back up, and it's like, okay, hit the button, you're in the game. Done. Just crazy. All that said, one last thing I want to mention about Ratchet Play, just really quick, the visual stuff. Like, lighting effects are amazing. The shadows, the dark is just phenomenal. A lot of that's the TV that we're playing on as well. But that doesn't work without the lighting effects. It just, again, it just makes you a believer in all of these things, all the particle effects, on and on and on. But the one last thing I want to mention about this game, it is ridiculously fun. It is really, really fun. Insomniac knows how to make a game.
And you know what? You can talk about gameplay and how fun it is, but it's what makes it fun is not only gameplay, but the writing.
Yeah.
The writing is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's funny. It's stupid funny. It's campy. It's this kind of ridiculous over the top world, but they execute it without it feeling dumb, which is hard.
I know the character chatter in most games bothers you. And I know what type of character chatter it is that bothers you. And I think a lot of that has to do with your ADD and come on, let's move us. But this is a whole different... it's like they're actually having a conversation. And
you want to stop and listen.
Yeah.
Like, you're walking through the world and, like, there's just two NPCs talking to each other. You're like, oh, what's going on over here? Like, you just wander over into their conversation just to, like, eavesdrop. Cyberpunk does this and it's terrible. Like, I just hate the banter in Cyberpunk. Right. It's just bad. It's just, there's nothing there. There's no interest. There's no life to it. And Cyberpunk's not trying to be a funny game necessarily. This is trying to be a funny game.
But even if this wasn't funny, just the way that it, just the, like, the best way I know to put it is that I care about these characters.
Yeah.
And what's going on. And that's because of the way that it's written.
Yes. It is written very well. And the fact that Insomniac can write Peter Parker too, and all the witticisms of Peter Parker and do a great job with that and do this. They have good writers. I don't know who those people are. We need to find some names at some point because they've got really talented people.
I don't. We'll talk to the writers. We don't care.
Yeah.
Because you said something. I just want to put it again. Put it out in the ether. So maybe it'll happen. We messed around with Miles Morales a little bit, and you said something I never thought I would hear you say. Where at the end of the game, and they're doing all the end of the game phone calls, and Miles is swinging around and all that, and he's talking to his mom, and he's talking to Genki, and all the people are calling. And then Pete calls, and they're having a conversation, and like, you stop, and you're like, we really need more Miles and Pete. And I literally, like, looked at him like, who are you, man? Because I feel that way.
Yeah.
And it's because of how well it's written.
Yeah.
You know, it just is.
Yeah.
So
they do a stellar job.
They do. They do a stellar job.
And it's fun gameplay. It's this shooter mechanic. Most of the stuff that you're doing is shooter mechanic stuff with these great weapons that are versatile. Varied maybe is a better way to say that. They're versatile. They're not very versatile. They're all very specific on kind of what they do well. But this varied set of weapons, it's got the platformer aspect. It's got interesting kind of side quests. It has collection things that are worth doing. I hate collection stuff that doesn't have a purpose. But this
he
gives
really
you a purpose.
Does. You guys have no clue. He really
I
does.
Do. I won't do it. I Breath of the Wild. We've talked about Breath of the Wild. It's one of my favorite games, if not my favorite game of all time. I'm not about going and finding a billion Korok seeds or whatever they're called. Just not my interest. Even though there is a benefit to those, it's not enough of a benefit to make me go even do that in a game that I love so much. But if you give me a compelling reason to do it, I'll do it. And this gives you a compelling reason to do it. It makes it user-friendly.
Well, and I don't even know that it's that compelling. I don't even know that it's about the reason. It's just that you're not annoyed.
Yeah.
Like, hanging out with these people is fun.
And you want to see the world. You want to kind of explore. And it's very level. It's not open world. As you go to these different planets, and each one is a level that you can kind of go to the edge of and find the boundaries and all that kind of stuff. But they're big level design. There's a lot of little hidden secrets in them. You can explore a lot still. The means of getting around are really fun. We just got the, like, hover boots recently.
Yeah, Iron Man.
It's just a fun game. Like, it's not a serious game. Like, it's, you know, the story's fine, it's cute, it's funny, and it has some heart to it. It's not taking itself seriously, and yet it's really charming, and the gameplay is fun, and just all with that and the spectacular visuals, the spectacular sound, it is current gen. It is where we're at right now, and it's maybe the only thing that's current gen.
And for those of you that are listening to this and you care about what we say, which is probably two of you at this point. If you're going and looking this up, going, what are these guys talking about? And you're looking at Metacritic, the only score that you need to pay attention to is the user score. Because the user score is the correct score for this game.
Yeah.
There's some freaking jaded video game journalists out there, like this is a 90 plus game.
Yeah.
Just go get it.
Yeah. If you've got a PlayStation 5, like Jamie said earlier, there's no reason not to have it.
Or if there's a bundle that comes out, which you know that's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
If you can buy that bundle, go get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it'll totally be worth it.
It is the defining game of the moment.
Yes.
Last year, I think at this moment, Animal Crossing was the defining game of the moment, you know? Like, it was just what the moment was, is what we needed in that moment. This is the defining game of this moment because it's the only game that is pushing the technology that exists.
When did it come out? Do you know?
What, Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah.
Friday.
Not.
Like, the 11th.
Last week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, 5 days ago.
So, that's my question. What? Over under, what are the odds that it gets votes for Game of the Year?
Oh, definitely. I can't imagine it, especially knowing what we know about what games are coming this year. I don't know that it will be game of the year.
It probably should be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else is. I mean, Halo's coming, and so that has to be in the conversation.
But no.
Even if you think it's ridiculous.
No, it's stupid. Come on.
But you're going to tell me Halo's not going to be in the conversation.
Of course it is, but it's stupid.
We have to see the game. We haven't seen anything about the campaign yet. The campaign may be great. More than likely, it's not. At least that's how I feel about it at this point. But maybe it's great, and I want it to be. I hope it's a candidate for Game of the Year because I want it to be great. I don't know that's going. But what else? Like Far Cry 6? Is that Far Cry is a B game. It's a great B game. Ubisoft puts out the best B games. Like 80 to 85 range games, Ubisoft has nailed.
Yeah.
They do that really well. They're not quite Game of the Year caliber, but they're really close. They're that kind of next tier down. Ratchet and Clank is that tier above that, which again, it's a series that I've not been a part of in the past. I wouldn't expect myself to say that. I'm not saying that out of some love for this franchise. I'm saying that because it's just a really good game. And it technologically is the best game right now.
And it's good enough that from now on, when there's a Ratchet and Clank game, we're going to run out and get it.
Yeah, they've got us as fans now.
Because it's that good. DLC, it doesn't matter. We're going to go get it. So we're really happy at this point. We have about a half a day left tomorrow, maybe a little more. And I feel like it pretty much all happened today, but I feel like this is what E3 is supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's good.
It's very good.
Yes.
I can't say anything about this content that we produce. We're really sorry. We have big dreams, and then it doesn't.
Stuff happens. But we've had fun, and hopefully y'all have had fun kind of coming along with us. But, yeah, E3 week is feeling good.
Very good, very good. We're very happy, and we're going to go be happy for a couple more hours, and there'll be more content tomorrow. We're doing a trailer show. We're doing some other stuff. It's going to be a good time. I'm not allowing you to leave my house until 5 p.m. That's not happening.
I've got a little girl that says differently.
I know, I understand, but
you're going to have to try to run me over, but I get you.
Yeah. I'm saying, just give me till 5. That's all I'm asking. We're having a good time. We hope you guys are too. I'm giving you all the stuff. You know about the Facebook page. You know about the Twitter. You know about the email. We still want sponsors. Please sponsor the show. We will talk about anything. We'll talk about Foot and Soul. We don't care. Sponsor their show. GamingUncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Or if you have my cell phone number, just text me and I'll talk about you right in the middle of the show. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2021. It's E4, covered by two idiots. And it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we're out. Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.